Some of you have heard this quote before from St. Augustine, who said that the New Testament lies hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is unveiled by the New. Today's readings underscore this in a most explicit way. From Genesis, we heard an excerpt from chapter 49. And in this chapter, Jacob, who is also known as Israel, gives a blessing to his 12 sons. And in this blessing, he highlights Judah in a particular way, and that's the passage Sean read for us. For Judah will become the seat of Israel's political and religious authority. And of course, the center of Judah will be the city of Jerusalem in the territory of Judah. Now, with this passage from the 49th chapter of Genesis in mind, listen to the 5th chapter of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, where we read these words. John is told by the angel, "See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered." That passage from Genesis is an embryo. And in that embryonic statement, we have an anticipation of what God will unfold throughout the whole of salvation history as we see it expressed in the Old Testament, and it will find its fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. For indeed, here in Genesis 49, the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and this text will be unveiled in the birth of the Savior. And that's why we have this passage just a week before Christmas. For here, Jacob, also known as Israel, prophesies that the tribe of Judah is going to be the royal tribe in Israel. And this king is not only a lion, he is also one who will have a scepter that will never pass away. Now, with all this in mind, listen to some of the most famous words from the whole of Scripture. And all of us are old enough to remember a Charlie Brown's Christmas. And you might remember Linus saying these words, not in this version, because Linus always quotes from the King James, but this is the New Revised Standard. "All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth," listen to this, "in Galilee to Judea," or Judah, "to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David." So here Luke is saying we have fulfilled a prophecy that had been made 2,000 years earlier by Israel to his son Judah. And now in the city of Judah, Bethlehem, the Savior is born. I love reading Matthew chapter 1. I only get to do it once a year. But to hear the names that Matthew brings together in this most famous of genealogies, it's a literary genius in terms of what he does here, because there are a couple of things that you need to know. Remember, 14 generations times 3. 14 is the numerical equivalent to the name David. Because when you take the consonants of the name David, the D's are each worth 4, and the V is worth 6. So 6 plus 4 plus 4 equals 14. So one of the things that St. Matthew wants us to understand is in all of what God is doing in the Old Testament story, all of these names, which can sound so random to us, also like that Charlie Brown kind of thing when the teacher's going wah, 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 and the kids don't understand what they're saying, we can hear that in the same way, but no, it's not like that at all. This is filled with intelligence. This is absolutely wonderful. And that's not the only thing. It's not just that the number 14 speaks to David, the king, and the true king is Jesus. But get this. In the first list of 14 names, all of these people have a prophetic dimension to their life. Everything about these people will find their fulfillment in Christ. The second list of 14 are all kings, starting with David all the way down to the king at the time of the Babylonian exile. The third list of 14, they all come from the priestly family. Now get this. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the prophet. He is the king. He is the priest. And here, St. Matthew wants us to see how the whole of salvation history, all of these names, are focusing to the person of Jesus Christ. Beloved brothers and sisters, this is our story. This is the remarkable story that we retell year after year after year, decade after decade, century after century after century after century, because it's true. This is the real story. But listen to how our genealogy ends. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. Now, if you've been listening to the genealogy carefully, you'll know up until this point, it would be so-and-so is the father of so-and-so. So if that was going to continue, it should have read that Joseph is the father of Jesus. But it doesn't do that. It says that Joseph is the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, was born. At the very climax of the genealogy, Matthew throws us a curveball. But because we've heard it so often, we can say, oh yeah, that's the genealogy in Matthew. But this is a remarkable conclusion. Because here's the thing. The whole of this story finds its yes in a teenager. A girl. From where? From Nazareth. Who will go to Judah and give birth to the Savior. Nothing from a human perspective could seem more inconsequential. A teenage girl, big deal. But it is a big deal. Because through her yes, the promise made by Israel to his son Judah was fulfilled. Isn't it remarkable when you hear the story again, maybe for the very first time? But what does this mean for us? Well, it means that you and I are also part of this story, that our names play a role in the unfolding of God's purposes. Your life, my life, our lives are not random. They are not without meaning. Rather, like the 18 colors of wool that my wife Peggy made to make my most favorite sweater, our names are woven into God's great story. One that we love so much that just as I wear this sweater all the time and I never tire of it, we never tire hearing of this story. I invite you today to pause and to consider how your name and life are of great significance and they matter to Jesus. And your name is being woven into the story of God's great and saving love.